It's great to see all of you here today. Welcome to week number one of a very short two-part series called Pray First. As always, I like to just pause just for a moment and say hello. I love looking into the camera and knowing that on the other side of that piece of technology, there are our church family that meet at other locations all across the state of Alabama. And I just want you guys to know how heartfelt this really is for me to say that we love you and we're proud of you, all that you're doing in your area of the city of Birmingham and around the state. And then, of course, the great men and women of in the Alabama Department of Corrections, 10 facilities now, guys, all across the state of Alabama, and then our church family that are around the world somewhere, and those that are watching online. We love you very much. How about a Grant Smith? Come on, say hello. Come on, say hi to the people right on the other side. It's awesome. And let me just begin by saying thank you. I want to look into your eyes and say thank you for being just such an amazing church. This week is something that is very near and dear to my heart and to yours as we not just focus on ourselves, but really invest in what I believe, who I believe that God loves the most, and that is his church. When we started our church 13 years ago, we set our hearts to do two things, and that is to help launch or plant new churches. And since the beginning of our church, and we've done that. In fact, we are now, we've started a church planting organization 13 years ago that is now planting, you ready for this? One brand new church every 3.5 days on average across America. About 100 a year are launching all across the country, and you guys are investing in that. And then we also not only plant new churches, but we invest in existing churches. I was actually pacing during one of our prayer focuses about 4 years ago, just pacing back and forth, just kind of minding my own business. And the Lord laid it on my heart. I just heard him say this, help 1,000 churches. Help 1,000 churches under 1,000 break that barrier. And it's been our joy for the past 4 years to do that. And we've seen over 100 churches break that barrier. And we're currently investing in about 600 churches on average is ones we formally coach and we're helping in some kind of way. And then this week, a little over 3,100 pastors and leaders are coming, and many of which have their churches are in such dire need that they're not able to afford hotel rooms or airfare. And you guys are scholarshiping a lot of that. And you're just an amazing, amazing group of people. And I just want you to know how much I love you and appreciate you. Don't you think that's an amazing thing, everybody? Come on, let's give God the glory for that. And so one of the things that I'm going to talk with them about is something I want to talk with you about today. And that is that behind the smoke and lights and video and all the things that people see, that's not really what makes it successful. That at the very heart, if you dug deep into what Highlands is all about, one of the things that you would quickly discover, and that is that we value prayer. We are a praying church. This ministry was birthed out of a prayer time in 2000, the year 2000. I was praying and fasting at my home church in Baton Rouge, and God laid in my heart. In fact, he gave me a vision of what I'm seeing right now. And it was during that prayer and fasting time. And so when we were launching our church in the early part of 2001, hands down, the best time to launch a church is right after the new year. I mean, people come back to church during that time. I mean, really, really do. And so if you're going to launch one, that strategically, that's just a great time to do it. But we were so concerned about making sure that the whole thing was built on God's power, God's spirit, not by man's efforts, that we would pray. We would take the whole first month that was really a strategic month to launch and let our launch team just pray and fast. And for 21 days, it's what we did. We didn't have an office or we didn't have any buildings at all. But they just came over to my house, and about 34 people came in the living room every evening at 6 p.m. And I had, if you can imagine, on the coffee table, 63,000 mailers, little postcards that we were getting ready to mail out to your mailboxes all across the city, and we would come in and we would spend an hour in prayer and lay our hands on those mailers and asking God to touch people. And again, it's just a part of the story that no one sees, no one knows. And of course, the rest is history, and people are quick to point at two things and say, oh, it's about that, it's about that. I'm telling you, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit. We're part of something that God did. Amen, everybody? We're part of something that only God could do. And so we just knew that prayer needed to be a part of our church life. And I've been in ministry 30 years now, and first 11 of those was as a youth pastor. And so I've been speaking, you know, with the youth pastors, they get a service they can speak at. I had my service on Wednesday night back in the day, And prayer, again, being a major concern, something that I really wanted to build the ministry on. So as long as I've been in ministry, the day before I would do ministry, we would have a prayer service. It was at my house when I was a youth pastor on Tuesday nights. We called it Prayer Warriors. And we had about 100 teenagers pile into my house, eat everything out of my refrigerator. They come into my house and they'd pray the paint off the wall. And again, people would quickly point to the success of that youth ministry and that youth group. But I'm telling you, it was because it was birthed on prayer. So we moved to Birmingham. The first thing that was launched, you need to know this, especially if you're a new member of our church, was that we launched Saturday prayer. We were here yesterday at 9 a.m. at all the locations, seeking God and praying for one thing, and that is the services today. In fact, we were praying for you, that God would touch you. That right there where you are in your journey, and you know what that's all about because you're going through it, aren't you? You know what your struggle is. You know what you're facing. You need to know there were several hundred people here yesterday touching the chair you're sitting in, praying for you. So you see a lot of things happening, but really it's built on prayer. In fact, we knew it was so important that we would have it in every service at every campus. So every service time at every campus, there's a team of people. We have about 1,000 people who serve in our prayer teams. And they're right now, right as I'm speaking, when we're here at this campus, it's behind that wall right there. There's a group of people in a room with a little monitor. They're listening to what I'm saying. Hey, everybody. And they're over there right now. But they're praying for you. And while you were in worship, they were praying, God, touch them. Let them have a mighty time. Let them have 1 second in your presence. And they're praying that during this message that you would hear it beyond your ears and it go into your hearts and that God would touch you in a great way. We're pretty committed to prayer. And then we started raising up prayer small groups. We have small groups, you guys know, in 8 major hub areas, men groups and women's groups and marriage groups and outreach groups. And we have financial groups and we have student groups. We have all these different hubs. One of the hubs of small groups here at Highlands are prayer small groups. Some of them prayer walk their neighborhoods. Others pray over schools. They're going to pray over students. Their moms are going to get together and pray for their families. I mean, just have a church built on prayer. And not only that, but one day they had the Birmingham newspaper, a front page, talking about the crime rates. About 4 years ago, talking about the crime rates in Birmingham. And there's action that is needed and was needed, but we addressed it spiritually first. I brought that newspaper to our prayer team leaders and said, hey, this is on our watch. Help me devise a prayer strategy that wins the war in the heavenlies and pray for the people of our city. And our team got together and put together a ministry now that is participated by with churches all over the city called Prayer Force United. We took the Highlands name off of it so other churches could be involved. And hundreds and hundreds of people prayer walk the highest crime areas of Birmingham that the chief of police selects for us. They give us police escort as we strategically pray through these areas. And for the first time since 1966, the crime rates in Birmingham have gone down. Amen, everybody? I'm just telling you. It's true. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, the paper reported it. And what am I saying? I'm just saying that this is something, if you're going to dig deep into what this is really all about, it's about prayer. Now, if that's true of a church, how much more could that be true of your life and your family and your home and your ways? What would it look like if your life was built on that? And that's what the next 2 weeks are going to be all about as I lead our church now into the next season, which is going to be a season of prayer. For 3 weeks, we will, starting August the 3rd, we will just have 3 weeks of intensive prayer, 21 days of prayer that we now do twice a year in January with prayer and fasting. Help us, Lord. And then in the fall with prayer and feasting. Can I get amen, somebody? All right. Yeah. So if you want to fast, help yourself. I'm eating. All right. So anyway, but it's a wonderful time of prayer. And I think part of that being successful is making sure you know how to pray. And a lot of us know, we think we know and we try to know, but really for most of us, it is a struggle. So here's what we did. 2 years ago, we adopted a prayer rally cry. And it's just 2 words. It's very simple. And that is that we're going to pray first. I did a message 2 years ago called Pray First. So that's why we called the series this year Pray First. Because in this rally cry just tells us practically, simply how to address literally every part of your life. And that is in every situation, we're going to pray first. So what would it look like when you wake up in the morning? Doesn't have to be an hour, 3 hours. What if you just woke up and said, good morning, Lord, I dedicate this day to you. Just that one sentence. What if it would look like if you would pray first, and then when you went to bed, that you would just pray first, and then before you eat, a lot of us pray first, and before you take that appointment, when your secretary says, Mr. So-and-so is here, should I show him in? No. Give me 1 minute. Just hang on 1 second. Father, in the name of Jesus, just bless this appointment. God, I can't do it without you. Help me make loads of money in Jesus' name. All right, send him on in, and you just pray first, and before your kids take off to school, wait, come here. Father, in Jesus' name, bless him today. Help him to be a leader, not a follower. Go, in Jesus' name. Just pray first. What if in every situation that we would, say it out loud, we would?
Pray first.
Yeah, just pray first. So we made these little wrist bracelets. They're so popular. We've ordered them like 3 times. And I know we've given out 50,000 of them. And there are more of you wanting these. And we've got some coming to you in the next week or so. It just simply says, pray first. It's a daily reminder that in everything I do, before I take that phone call, I'm going to. Yeah, you're a little slow. I think it's just really 2 words, all right? Before I send that email, I'm gonna. Yeah, some of you need to pray first before you send that email. All right. Before I post that tweet, I'm gonna pray first. Yeah. Some of you, yeah, I'm just gonna bring God into every situation. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Here's our theme verse, and I'm gonna show you how to do this. Today I'm gonna teach you prayer. Next week I'll show you how to work it into your life, okay? So let's just learn how to pray today. And here's our theme verse, rejoice always. And then it just simply says, pray continually. That's actually verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you've ever just want to memorize a verse of the Bible, start with the 2-word one. That's a real short verse there. Pray continually, pray continually. How do I do that? How do I pray continually? Should I stop my life, get on my knees, and never come up? No. It literally means that in every situation, I'm going to bathe it in prayer. I'm going to go ahead and live my life, and I'm going to have those appointments, and I'm going to do that fun. I'm going to go to that game, and I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go to work, but I'm going to bring prayer into everything that I do. I'm going to pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. What's God's will for my life? To pray first. That's God's will for your life, and that's why we have adopted this rally cry. I want you to be in on it. Many of you have joined our church, you're new to our church, you need to know the rally cry of our church. And here it is, jot it down if you're taking notes, and that is that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. See, a lot of us, and I'm included in this one, okay, we act first, and then we ask God to bail us out, right? But we're not going to act first, we're going to pray first. We need to act, but we're going to pray first. Prayer's going to be our first response, not our last resort. All right, let me get a little serious with you just for a moment. I'm not a serious type. If you're new, I think church ought to be full of laughter and food, all right, and lots of God and coffee. I think, oh, that's great, all right? But there's from time to time, I need to stop and look you in the eye and make sure you know what's happening, really. And I'm telling you, our world is in peril. It's in trouble. And there has been such a moral decline, it's mind-boggling. It's not going like this, it's going like this. The outright abandonment of God's will and God's way, mocking God. And then you have planes being shot out of the sky. Not fighter jets, commercial airline jets. You have the intensity of what's happening and where all this is going to end up one day in the Middle East. And I'm just telling you, something's up. In fact, in September, we're going to do a series called You Ask For It, where it's the survey from Easter, where I asked you to give me topics you wanted me to teach on. And your number one most requested, I'll go ahead and reveal it now, the number one most requested topic from you was, are we living in the last days? Is this it? And we're going to address that the first Sunday of September and answer that question that you've asked, because you asked for it, all right? But the answer, if you want to know the quick answer now, we've got to be. We've got to be. So what do we do? What do we do if we are the last days generation? What do we do? Well, we pray first. You don't see it in Scripture? 2 Chronicles says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, you've got drought, moral drought. I'm not just talking about rain drought. I'm talking about there is a drought going on. Or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. Here's what you should do. And God almost teases you with, if... Not sure they will, but if my people, if they would just come here, they keep going other places, but if they would just who are called by the name, if they would just humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's what's needed. I want you to know that you have a role in what's going on in society. And we need to pray first. So I'm going to teach you how, and then we're going to move into a season as a church for 3 weeks, first 3 weeks of August. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to revolutionize your life and our church. So let's have some fun and learn how to do it, all right? And chances are you're already thinking, I know I need to, but it's just so hard. I don't like it. I mean, that was me. I grew up in church. I knew I was supposed to pray. I just didn't like it because everybody prayed better than me, first of all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just my pastor could do it out of the King James Version with all the these and the thous, and I couldn't ever do it that great. And then I had a Sunday school class where that had prayer circles, circle prayer. And our Sunday school teacher, like, we're going to pray. And when I finish, I'm going to squeeze your hand. And it's your turn to pray. You pray. And then when they're done, they'll squeeze your hand. And then you pray. And we're going to go around this circle. Well, you'd always end up in the wrong part in the circle. So you're last. And you're thinking all the stuff you're going to pray. You're not even listening to their prayer. You're thinking all the stuff you're going to say. And then they start saying everything you were, I was so going to say that. And but you can't do it because it looks like you're just cheating now. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, it'd get to me. It's like, squeeze, squeeze. I just move it on down the line. I ain't got nothing to say. You know what I'm saying? I mean, move that bad boy on around. And then you grow up learning little prayers. I mean, how ridiculous is this childhood prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. What morbid person came up with that? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die. I mean, think about that. Yeah, little one, if you should die before you wake, good luck. All right, now you go, if you pray. I mean, if you should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I mean, what is that all about, you know? I mean, think about it. So, you know, prayer just wasn't very attractive to me, and really no one ever taught me, how to pray. And so if you're like me, I can come up with 1,000 reasons why, excuses why I shouldn't pray. Speaking of excuses, I heard the funniest Cajun joke. I hadn't told y'all one a long time, and it'd only take me a minute. You want to hear a Cajun joke? Yes or no? Yeah? All right, so here's how it goes. Boudreaux was swerving all over the highway, so the police officer pulled him over and said, Boudreaux, he said, man, you swerving all over the place. We're going to have to do a breathalyzer on you. He said, you can't do that. I said, why can't I do that? He said, I'm asthmatic. I could die right here on the highway. You can't do that. So well, all right, then we'll do a blood test on you. So, well, you can't do that either. He says, I'm a hemophiliac. I could die right here on the highway. He said, we're going to take you in and do a urine test. Can't do that either. He says, I'm diabetic. He said, well, then you're going to have to walk this straight line. He says, you can't do that either. He said, why not? He says, I'm drunk. That's funny. I don't care what y'all say. All right. Well, I hope y'all got that at the other campuses. That was funny. Some of us, that's what our spiritual life is like. Isn't it true, right? You always have a reason why. Well, I'm going to dispel the excuses, and I'm going to help you pray. I'm going to make this so much fun for you, so practical. You ready? It's so simple. It'll only take me a few minutes. The Bible says that one day, while Jesus was praying, and he was in his certain place. I'm going to talk about that one next week. But when he was in his certain place, and he finished, the disciples, who, by the way, grew up memorizing prayers. They all knew how to pray, all of them. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, they weren't asking how to pray. They were asking how to pray like that. I mean, wait a minute. We were watching you, and that's not how we grew up. What are you doing? That's good. You really connected with God. You seem to be enjoying it. Teach us that. And then Jesus responds with what we call today the Lord's Prayer. To which we've taken all of the passion out of it, and now it's this just recited prayer for a lot of people. And you ready for this? Jesus never intended for you to just recite the prayer. In fact, when he was teaching it, he never said, pray this prayer. He said, after this manner, pray this. In other words, here are the headings. You want to know what I was doing over there? I was covering several different topics, and here are the topics. And the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer. I mean, it's so fine for you to pray it, but that's not what he intended. The Lord's Prayer is an outline for prayer. It is the 7 things that Jesus was doing while he was praying. And it's found both in Luke chapter 11, and it's found in Matthew 6. But let's go back to Matthew 6 and look at it. And here's what it says. Our Father in heaven, you know it, but it's comma. So he says, first of all, I was just kind of dealing with that for a while. And then I went to this next phrase, hallowed be your name. And then I prayed, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I prayed for that for a while. And then I got into my needs and prayed for today, my daily bread. And then I dealt with forgiveness for a while. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And then I prayed this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Got to dealt with that for a while. And then I said, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And what Jesus was doing, it's one of the greatest revelations I've ever received, one of the most beautiful things I can pass on to you as a church, is using, this as an outline, so here's the challenge. I'm going to show you how simple it is in just a couple of minutes. And I want you to take the little handout sheet to your place of prayer tomorrow. Take 10, maybe 15 minutes at the most, cover these seven topics, and you will say, that was one of the most meaningful prayer times I've ever had. That's your challenge. Check it out. I'm telling you, it works. And here's the first phrase, and that is the phrase, our Father in heaven. He says, look, here's where you guys are missing it. You need to do this first. Write this down if you're taking notes, and that is you need to connect with God relationally. Connect with God relationally. So don't connect with God formally. So don't come in saying, oh, God. Or if you're doing the King James Version, oh, God, we praiseth thee. Don't do all that. Don't do all that. That he says, look, you need to understand that your God is a heavenly Father. And you ready for this? Jesus was telling his disciples, this is even his favorite name to be called. Call him Father. He likes it. Because he didn't want to be this distant, you know, we just send our heavenly email up to him of all the things that we want him to do. No, he wants to connect relationally. So that's how I start. Now, you may think this is odd, but I wake up in the morning and I say, good morning, Father. I'm so excited to spend some time with you. I can't hardly wait just to talk to you a little bit. And I just picture in my mind, you know, sometimes my kids, they get so close to me. When they were little, they got in my lap. And there's parents, you know, there's nothing better, man, just hold those kids and they just snuggle up in your lap. Your heavenly Father desires that spiritually. My kids are older now, and from time to time, they'll poke into my office at home. Hey, Dad, sorry if I go over to Mark's house. Yeah, it's all right. I'll just be home. What time are you coming home? All right, you know, kind of just all about details. No connection, really. Every once in a while, it happens about once a week. One of my kids, it happened this week, just came in, sat down next to my desk. What's up, my man? Oh, I just want to see what you were doing. Really? Yeah, I just want, how are you, Dad? I'm doing great. What do you want? You can have anything, not the rest of them, all for you. Everything for you. You're my favorite. You're my favorite child right now. You're right? Because they made the effort to connect relationally. I'm telling you, you should go no further in prayer till you connected relationally. For you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. And if you're serving God with fear as a slave, you've got the wrong picture of God. And your view of God will determine your relationship with God. And that's in the wrong view. Instead, you've received God's spirit when he adopted you as a child. He sees you as a child, and he loves it that when you don't just come in and just throw out your heavenly request list to him, but you just desire to get close. And he says, after I do that, then I go to this next phrase, hallowed, kind of a fancy word, hallowed be your name. And what was Jesus saying? He said, now I just spend some time talking about the names of God. Write it down this way. I'm going to worship his name. We sang that in one of our songs today. Worship your holy name. Guys, that's not just a phrase. And like some of us, we just say, Lord, I worship your name. No, no, no. Actually, then what are they? And worship them. So literally start talking about the names of God because the names have power. Let me illustrate it this way. Every once in a while, I tell my kids, hey, tell your brothers, pick up there. Now, they go up and say, pick up there. No one's listening to that kid. But if I say, tell them, daddy said, pick up there. Hey, everybody, dad said, okay, we're good. Right? Because they carry the name. They're carriers of the name. The name has power. The name has authority. You need to be worshiping the names of God. For, Proverbs says, God's name is a place of protection, and the righteous run there and they find safety. So what are his names? Let me just give you a few. This is the list I go through. I go through these eight every day. Lord, you're my sanctifier. You're my righteousness. You're the one who's called me. You're the ones who's made me pure. I didn't do it by my own effort. It's by the blood of Jesus on the cross. I'm so grateful you're my healer today. Cancer and diabetes and blood disorder has no dominion over me because you're my healer. I run to that name today. You're my banner of victory over every attack of the enemy. You're my shepherd. So today you're going to speak to me and I'm going to be listening. And according to John 10, I'm going to turn away from the voice of the stranger and I'm going to be tuned into your voice today. You're my peace when all the world is just chaotic. Man, I'm just going to find a place of peace in you. You're my peace. You're the Prince of Peace. You're my provider. You supply everything I need. And you are the Lord. You ready for this? One of the names of God is you're the Lord who's there. His name is there. His name is there, everybody. Hey, Lord, I am there. What do you mean there? Yep, wherever you go, I'm there. What a beautiful name. So I make my bed in the highest heavens or the lowest depths of the earth. Lord, Psalm 139, you are there. Worship his name. And then after I do that, Jesus said this. He said, then move to this part. He really likes it when you pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done. Notice one word twice, your. So before you get to your, make sure it's your. And this is a big problem, honestly, for all of us, myself included, because God doesn't want to be dumped on as if he doesn't even know what's going on in your life. But in every relationship that matters to you, you always focus on their agenda first. And that's the third part of prayer. Write this down. Pray his agenda first. So let me say it this way. God's got a prayer list. Pray it. He likes it. I'm trying to help you get close to God. He said, Chris, what is his prayer list? Really can summarize it in one word. Ready for it? Some of you need to write it down. Others. Others. God so loves the world. So when you pray for the Palestinians and the Jewish people and the Ukrainian people and the Russian people and the churches we're planting in China and for the 3,100 pastors who are coming here, many of which are ready to give up. They're ready to just to hand their church over to someone or close it down. God likes it. God, touch those pastors this week. Let them just have a revival. Let them learn and grow, God. Bless them. God, really? Really? All your needs and you're going to talk about that? Oh, I love you so much. Thank you. Because we're going to pray his agenda. Matthew 6, I put it in your notes. You seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and then he takes care of your things. Not in your notes. Luke chapter 12. He will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. I'm going to focus on your kingdom come. Your will be done. I'm going to focus on your agenda, God. So today I pray for President Obama, and I pray for the Supreme Court, and I pray for the Congress. And God, I'm praying for Governor Bentley. I do this every day. Then I get to you. And God, for the precious people of Church of the Highlands, God, just bless them in every way. Give them health. I pray for their homes, their families, their marriages today, God. Strengthen them. Bless them with every spiritual blessing. Others, 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 others. And then you can get, are y'all learning anything out of this? Is this helping at all? All right. Then the fourth part, Jesus says, and then get into what you need. Then it's about us. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, Chris, I really don't need anything right now. Yeah, but every day do it. See, a big mistake is that we only go to God when we need him. So I would encourage you to pray. Listen to this. This is brilliant. Pray for what you need, even if you don't need it. Pray as if you don't have it. Because it communicates to God that everything I have is because of you, and everything I need comes from you. Everything. So every day, I ask Lord every day, I ask, Lord, bless the church. God, bless my family. God bless our finances, bless our health, bless our emotions. Every day, depend on him for everything. So I don't need him for that. Yeah, but we need to communicate to God that we need him in everything all the time. And that's why before everything, we need to pray first. Well, I can handle this. Now, bring him into it. God likes it when you depend on him for everything for that day. This is beautiful. Psalm 121, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And some of you are thinking, like, that's heaven. No. The mountains is where the seat of government was in Israel. It was on the hill. So basically he was saying, I look up to Capitol Hill, does my help come from there? And the answer is no. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. I look past the hill to the heavens and I say, my help comes from you. Every breath that I take, every step that I take, God, I can't live a day unless you sustain me in it. Can I hear a good amen, somebody? All right. And then Jesus says, oh, don't forget this part. Fifth part of the prayer, forgive us as we forgive others. So I need you to forgive me, and then I need to actively forgive others. Two parts to this prayer. So here's how I would say it, and that is get your heart right two places, with God and with people. Say, Chris, what do you mean get my heart right? Here's what I pray. You can use it if you like. But every day I say, Lord, don't let me become desensitized to sin. So here's the prayer I pray. Lord, search my heart. Do you see anything that offends you? Would you please point it out? Because I want to repent of it right here, right now. And I'm going to tell you many days, things I didn't even know about, the Holy Spirit will go, for. I'm like, okay, I got it. You know, like he'll point it out to you. And then you just talk to the Lord about it so that my heart stays pure. And then I not only do that for myself between me and God, but also want to do it between me and others, right? I mean, I just go through people that have offended me, people that have hurt me, people that I don't even know that, for whatever reason, I just, Lord, for every person who's upset with me or hurts me or, God, I just forgive them in Jesus' name. I'm not going to hold it against them. I'm gonna let you take care of it. I'll let you avenge. And so I'm going to get it off my chest and it's all yours, God. And I'm just going to forgive others today. You ready for this? I forgive in advance. Lord, today people are going to hurt me. Because I'm going down 280 today, Lord, and I need your help, right? Forgive them in advance in Jesus' name. And just go it actively. And I'm going to tell you, if you would do that every day, people would notice. Man, you're different. Oh, yeah, because I already forgave you before I even saw you today. I'm feeling good, you all right? I mean, your kids would notice. What's up with Dad? Man, he's been praying. That little 15-minute thing Pastor Chris talked about, it's changed his life, right? It's changed. Right, I want to encourage you. It's just a minute. It's just a phrase that can change your life. 15 minutes can change your life. The Bible says if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify our unrighteousness. I say do it every day, every day. Get your heart right with God, get your heart right with people, every day. And then he moves into a fun one, all right? And then do not lead us into temptation. Now, that's actually not a great translation. Because God doesn't lead people into temptation. There's actually a verse that says that, so that can't be true. The actual Greek translation is, do not allow me to be led into temptation. It literally means this, God, today I'm going to have a chance to sin, and I need you to help me make a good decision. Like temptation is on the agenda today by the devil, and so when I get there, help me. Deliver me from the evil one, because he's coming. And here's the way I like to say it, and you may not even like what I'm getting ready to say, but it does not change the fact that it exists, that you have an enemy who hates your guts. And for many of us, he's working harder to destroy you than you are working to keep it from happening. And if you're not fighting the devil every day, then he's working harder than you. I want to say that again. If you're not fighting the devil every day, then he's working harder than you. So every day, engage in spiritual warfare. See, Chris, that sounds so like a sci-fi film you're talking about. Like there's a demonic powers going on. All right, let's just read the verse together, okay? Ephesians chapter 6. For our struggle is not against people. It's not flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers of darkness, the authorities, against the powers of the dark world. You know what I mean? This is the Bible. This is not a movie. This is the real deal, folks. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Well, if that exists, then I need to every day take my stand against the devil. And every day, I just pray. I bind everything off I can think of off your life. God, free them from addiction. Free them from immorality. Free them from every attack on their marriages. God, I pray for protection around my kids today. Let there be breaching of the walls, no going into captivity. You're going to bless their coming and their going both now and forevermore. I fight the devil in Jesus' name. That's right. Nehemiah 4 says, fight for your families. Well, fight. Let's fight for them. That's right. That's spiritual warfare. It doesn't have to scare you. You just need to work harder than the devil's working. That's all you need to do. You need to get in the presence of God and use the name of God over every situation. And honestly, you can do it in one phrase where you just confront your enemy every single day. And then he ends where he began. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. He goes right back to God. None of this happens because I prayed today. None of this happens because I did what I was supposed to do. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's your kingdom. God, I can only do this in your power, and it's all for your glory, all for you. And I love to end this way. You need to end every prayer time, if it's just one sentence, express your faith in God's ability. God, you're awesome. Two verses I usually use every day. They're in your notes if you want to start using them. Jeremiah 32, Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Ready for this? Nothing is too difficult for you. I just love ending a prayer time saying that. None of this is hard for you. Like, nothing I said to you today made you nervous. Nothing. And I love that about you. And then I usually finish with Revelation 5, to him who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb be blessing and glory and honor and power forever and ever. And the people of God said a good amen. Amen. Bow your heads in prayer, everybody. Yeah, just prayer. Prayer, so simple, so powerful. Please, no moving around just for a moment. And Father, I pray for prayer. I pray, God, that this church grows in prayer. As we move into this season of getting closer to you and praying, Lord, I'm praying that for a revival of prayer in our personal lives and in our church. God, we cannot do what you've asked us to do without the covering of prayer in our church. And so, and I know we can't live our lives individually without prayer. And so, God, help us as we take the next season as a church together. And Lord, I pray for every person who all this just freaks them out. It's just a little too hard. And God, let them see how simple it is as they commit to that few minutes of walking through the seven elements that you gave us in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I can't help but think about that very first phrase, our Father, connecting with God relationally. Can I tell you something? Salvation is not going to a church. It's not even believing in God. It's when you connect with God relationally. That's what salvation is. And the Bible says, it's my favorite salvation verse, that Jesus came to destroy the barrier between you and God. So let me say it maybe in a way you can understand. For a bunch of us, God seems far. He seems far. Well, salvation is when he becomes close. And that can only happen when Jesus, who paid for your sins, comes into your life, removes that barrier, and you and God are close again. You say, Chris, okay, I'm in. What do I have to do? One thing, give him your life. That's the only condition of that barrier being destroyed, is you receive what Jesus did on the cross and invite him to take over your life. So if you're here today and God is a million miles away and everything in you desires for him to be close, and you really want to be close, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. In fact, some of you, you're really far from God. I mean, you know God, and you maybe even believe in God, but you're not close to him. Today, you need to be saved. You need to come into a deep relationship with the Lord. And I'm going to help you with a prayer at every one of our locations, at all the correctional facilities. If that's you, whisper these words straight to heaven right now, right there where you are. I'm going to help you with the words. Say, Jesus, thank you for destroying the barrier between me and God. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Today I receive that, and I make you my Lord. Come live inside of me and begin the work of change. Have your way in me. I give you, say this now, I give you my life. Everything. Thank you for setting me free. Now, at every one of our locations, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I want to pray over you. Just one more quick prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I just want to pray for you right there. Say, Pastor Chris, I just prayed that prayer. At every location, lift your hand high. Just lift it. I prayed that. Yes, yes, yes. Dozens of hands. Just lift them up. Leave it up. Just be bold. Be bold. Yes, yes, yes. I just prayed that prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Good, good, good. It's wonderful. Way at the top. It's awesome. Makes my day to see that. Put your hands down. Father, thank you for every person who just made the most important decision of their life. I bless them. Let this be the first day of the rest of their life. Do a great work in them in Jesus' name. And all of us here at Highlands, we celebrate it. In your name we pray, amen. Church, celebrate about 50 people making the best decision of their life. Come on.